You were busy on Independence Day, Mr. Gordon, but a belated 240th happy birthday to our nation.
240 years, Charlie. Great celebration, our 4th of July. Of course, I think the real day of the Declaration was the 2nd, as I recall. But I'm operating from a hysterical memory.
I believe the Declaration, the resolution that these United Colonies are and by right ought to be free and independent states was approved on the 2nd. The actual vote to approve the Declaration was on the 4th, but it actually was not formally signed until some days later.
So 6th, whichever it was. But yes, it was a good celebration, Charlie. We of course, last week was a short work week for the city, and that we were off. I've come in today. You notice I've got my KWN hat on.
I noticed that. It looks nice.
I do. I have my green KWN hat on that Mr. Potter gave me some time back.
If the chief were to wear his, he would be out of uniform.
Would he?
Well, Kevin wanted to sell me one, so.
Yes, he wouldn't give it to you. He wanted to make a little profit off that. Charlie, how was your weekend?
It was
just
excellent.
Informally.
It was mostly quiet, but it was enjoyable, and it's nice to occasionally take a quiet weekend without broadcasts around the area.
Well, I appreciate. Of course, I think you work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
You must have been talking to my wife again.
I listen to the radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you're on all the time. You're recorded or you're here. But I appreciate what you do for the community, and of course, Caleb and Kevin and Dory, what a gift they are to our community and communication, and I'm really grateful for what you do. I have this morning, in fact, I had originally lined up the engineering staff, and when I told them they were released from active duty this morning, they seemed somewhat relieved, but I have with me Tom Holland, the chief of the Bartlesville Police Department. Morning, Chief.
Good morning, Ed.
Kind of a pause there. You all right?
I'm doing well.
Well, he is 69 years old.
An excellent age to be.
Not quite.
Well,
I'm close.
I'm rounding up, though.
Yeah, well, you better not round up everybody in here because you're going to be there with me.
Oh, it is. Before we move on, Steve Knatzer.
Yes.
Municipal judge, today is his 68th birthday.
Congratulations.
Class of 1966, College High Wildcat. Steve Knatzer turns 68 years old today. So congratulations, Steve. If you know him, pick up the phone, give him a call, or send him condolences, whichever, in a form of a card or something.
If you received a municipal offense, you could go see him in city court later.
Well, that'll be tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. You can belated happy birthday.
There you go.
Bring a present.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to have to do is bring a gift.
But be careful as far as that it doesn't appear as though you're trying to influence the judge.
That's right.
No. And the reason I brought Tom in today is in light of recent events around America, across America.
As close as Dallas.
Of course, we were part of Texas at one time. Been a few years ago.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself to us. I think there are some folks may not know you. Most folks do.
And know how qualified you are for the position you hold.
Well, I'm Tom.
That's the question. How long have you been in law enforcement? Yeah. Introduce yourself.
I'm Tom Holland. I started in law enforcement in 1971. Ed was a mere child.
Still in diapers in 71.
Yeah, and have been in or around law enforcement since then. I say around because I did 10 years at Phillip Petroleum Company, headed up security worldwide, but I worked with police departments globally. But I've been an active police officer for a lot of years.
Now, you started in 71 in what?
And I was a state police officer in Texas. Now, I wasn't a trooper. They were hiring at that time. That was right toward the end of the Vietnam War, the Cambodian invasion, all that. They were hiring investigators, narcotics officers, and intelligence folks, and I didn't want to work drugs, and I wasn't intelligent, so they put me in investigations, and that's what I did. And then I went to work for the district attorney's office as a criminal investigator in Fort Worth, that's Tarrant County. Was there 5 years, got hired by the FBI and became a special agent.
What year was that, Tom?
That was in 1978, and worked reactive crimes, bank robberies, extortions, kidnappings. I also worked in our intelligence field. And I would have been with the Bureau 30-plus years, except they sent me to New York City. And I'd already been there with my dad and mom. I also...
Your dad was a Phillips employee.
He was a Phillips guy.
He worked in the same department my dad did.
He was in, yep, and they knew each other, were convinced. And ended up hitting New York City when the interest rates on a house were 24%. We could afford about... a 900 square foot house if we were lucky, and the only assistance the FBI suggested was have your wife take in laundry. I said, would you ask her?
You talk to Diane. Let Diane.
I'd have to be careful this morning because I think she's listening this morning.
I have several things I'd like to ask her last week.
Yeah, I'm sure. I ended up leaving the Bureau. I hated it. 200 of us actually left over that transfer issue because we couldn't afford it.
You hated to leave. You said you hated it, but you
hated to leave the FBI. Yeah. I loved every minute of it. I've loved every minute of my law enforcement career. Haven't liked every minute. There's been things, hard things, hurtful things. I had a partner killed in 1978. They have a law enforcement memorial in Washington, much like the Vietnam Memorial, that lists police officers killed in line of duty. And I was actually up there a few years ago and went by, and there's 15 names on that memorial that I know, that I worked with. And one of them, we were partners. And so then I became the police chief in 1990 and served...
Bartlesville
Police, and served almost 4 years, and Phillips wooed me away. I did that for 10 years, retired, was minding my own business, and Mr. Gordon called me. And... I went and visited. The next thing I knew, I was a Bartlesville police chief. So I'm the only person in history to actually be the Bartlesville police chief twice. And
Tom, and I'm glad that you are. I hired you because of your character.
Appreciate that.
Your character preceded you, and your reputation, and because of that, knowing you, I'm glad that you're here. Now, Tom, law enforcement, you've worked since the early 70s in law enforcement, in essence, and they're kind of a different stripe. And I think the closest thing you can get, unless you serve in law enforcement, is probably in the military. There seems to be, because it operates under that structure.
It does.
A military structure. Sure. And it is a paramilitary organization.
And we refer to ourselves as a paramilitary organization. We're uniformed. We have rank structure. We don't salute. Most police departments don't do that, don't salute their superiors. But beyond that, and all three of us were in the military here, three different branches, as a matter of fact. And
yes, sure. I think Charlie was the golf arm of the Air Force.
The Tinker Air Force Base golf course is in excellent shape, last time I saw
it. I play with Charlie on that. I appreciate your service. I say that with tongue in cheek.
But
of course,
you were
Jarhead.
We are a paramilitary organization.
It's still high and tight.
That's right.
Yeah, it is. It's because it's all falling out.
I tell you, I love law enforcement. I have one regret, and that is, as Mr. Gordon points out daily, I'm 68. I wish I was 35 and this was my first day as Bartlesville Police Chief. And I could stay 50 years.
I appreciate that, Tom.
I love it. I mean, I don't even know. But, and my wife loves the fact that I'm working.
But law enforcement is like a family.
Oh, it is a family. Absolutely it is.
And as a family with these long introduction to these recent events that are taking place. And Tom, I asked you last week, discuss this with you and ask you to be a part of the radio program to talk about the Bartlesville Police Department, but more a little more broadly to start with, Tom, your take on I said be prepared to talk on a national basis, but let's address a more regional basis.
Well, of course, regionally, and by that I define not only Oklahoma, but Texas. I mean, they're, we have very similar views on life, conservative, and law-abiding.
I like to think constitutional.
Absolutely. We're governed by the Constitution, the original intent of the Constitution. And, of course, me, I started out as a Texas police officer. I worked with Dallas police officers many times.
And as we talk about the region, it's interesting where when there's a crisis in another community, Tom, I the most recent that I can think of, Joplin, when the tornado swept through Joplin, you called me. What did you say?
I said, the Joplin's been wiped out and they need help. And you said, get your guys over there fast, and if they need heavy equipment, we have it available. We'll truck it over. We were the first outside police department out of state from Missouri to arrive in Joplin.
You were recognized by the governor of the state of Missouri.
Yes, he sent us all a wonderful letter. I had 16 officers and two sheriff's deputies. Sheriff Silver sent some of his, and they came with us.
And the fire department, our Bartlesville Fire Department.
Fire department was there, and we did good, both fire and police. We got in and helped people.
But they're, law enforcement's a family.
I
don't want to be too ADD in this, but hop around. But you are a family. And Tom, as you think about the region, you said that we kind of share the same values as our as Texas. Very conservative in our beliefs. Tom, how are our officers doing?
You know, police officers across America are hurting. We're hurting. We're wearing the black patch over our badge, mourning for those Dallas officers. And it's really struck us, and I think central to that is the fact these officers were protecting people in the exercise of those people's First Amendment rights. They have a right to peacefully assemble, and all the indications were that this was going to be a very peaceful assembly. I'm not hearing anything that even remotely suggests a conspiracy among the race organizers. I know the FBI is looking at that, and the Dallas Police and Texas Rangers and all that. But this was a peaceful assembly. That's guaranteed by the Founding Fathers.
And the First Amendment.
That's the First Amendment. It was that led. And then the next thing you know, you've got 5 dead Dallas officers, 7 wounded. You have civilians wounded. I was moved by this African-American lady last night that was shot in the leg and went down. Officers ran and put their bodies on her to shield her and her son. And she started weeping on Fox News because she said, and 2 of them were shot protecting me before my very eyes. And she just broke down. She couldn't go on. This is what we do. You know, Ed, there's a famous saying. You've said it to me, I've said it to you, but we run toward gunfire. And we do. If God forbid, if gunfire erupts in Bartlesville, we got 36,000 people going to get away. 59 are going to run to it. 58 police officers and Charlie Tarbelletti with a mic in his hand. He's going to he's going to cover the story. But we run toward gunfire. And you'd think, you know, why do you do that? I can't answer that. It's in us.
And I think you think about that, John 15:13. Is on the memorial in front of the police department.
Yeah, exactly.
It says, greater love.
Greater love.
Has no man than he was lay down his life for his, and it says for his friends.
Yeah.
That's people you know, but obviously.
We do it for people we don't know.
People you don't know. But
that's right.
What is the definition of love from a biblical perspective, perhaps, would be that.
Sacrificial.
It's sacrificial.
Agape.
Agapao. Yeah. Tom, even in our community, we talked, you said there's a group that wanted to have a peaceful assembly, and we talked about how do we approach this, and it was that they have, it's in the Bill of Rights, it is the First Amendment to the Constitution, that the right to assemble, and we both agreed that was perfectly right for them to do that.
Absolutely, and I think it kind of... surprised them at first because they said, they called and they said, we know you're going to turn this down. Who do we appeal to? And I said, why do you think I'm going to turn this down? This is your First Amendment right to peacefully assemble. I said, we will be there to protect your First Amendment right, to make sure nothing happens. And Charlie, I understand you were there, and it was peaceful.
It was.
And they were very, and I said to them, you know, we have this memory of Dallas that's so fresh. And the lady told me, and I believe her, she said, we're weeping over these Dallas officers. We're mourning over them. And I think the nation is. Because, again, they were protecting people's rights to peacefully assemble. And every indication this was going to be peaceful. And then you've got 5 dead officers, 7 shot, a couple of citizens shot, the bad guy killed. It was a violent turn of events.
Yeah, and again, the evil people are in the world, and there doesn't, and it's, we're not talking about the color of a skin.
No, not at all.
We're talking about there are evil people in the world.
That's
and
right.
And it has to do with their heart.
Well, and you know, my take on the color of skin is this, and I can't remember what Supreme Court justice said it, but he said the Constitution is colorblind. And I have to tell you, law enforcement, if it's working properly, is colorblind. We deal with victims and we deal with law violators, and they're across the spectrum.
And I meant to, I started to say this earlier and your discussion went past it. Law enforcement, and you were comparing at the time to military, it's kind of a yes or no binary system. Was a crime committed, yes or no? Did this person have a hand in it, yes or no? And it goes on down the list.
That's the way it operates. Yeah, we have something interesting here, too. We were Indian Territory. Remember those days? Ed remembers Indian Territory. Mm. 20% of probably every police department in Oklahoma is Native American, at least partial Native American.
Yeah, and we are a nation and a city governed by law. I've tried to find out where this came from. We're governed by law, not the whim of men, Tom, and I kind of trace that back to Teddy Roosevelt in 1912.
He was a police chief.
He was, and in law enforcement. But I have to tell you that, Tom, these hundreds of ordinances, what people don't know is your daily operation at the police department, while you are the city council or the state of Oklahoma adopts laws. City Council promulgates laws,
true,
and it is our job in administration to enforce those laws.
That's right.
And it's not the whim of men. We are governed by law. And as you come to the place to enforce these laws, that's your responsibility.
And it is the basis of our oath. We say in our oath, and every police officer takes it, in Oklahoma, it's state law, that we will preserve, protect, and defend the constitutional laws of the United States, the constitutional laws of Oklahoma, and the local ordinances. So that's part of our oath of office. And we take that very seriously. If you don't take that seriously, you don't need to be in this profession. But my officers take that very seriously.
Tom, the attitude of our officers, what is the attitude of our officers? You have your pulse on...
Absolutely. You know, and we talked Sunday morning before church about this, and I've been around the Bartlesville Police Department since 1979. I came to Bartlesville as an FBI agent. I was born and raised here, left for 20 years, came back in 1979 as an FBI agent. I worked out of the Bartlesville Police Department. They gave me an office, a phone. I worked with the detectives. They helped me, and I had 6 counties up here. In all that time, 1979 to this very moment, I have never heard a Bartlesville police officer, an employee, or anyone down at the station or out in the community make a disparaging remark that would be considered racist about anybody, black, white, brown, red, Asian, it doesn't matter. I've never heard that. It's like it's foreign to us. And if we did hear it, that would be, oh, my gosh.
And in fact, Charlie, you brought up this morning, I didn't know this, there's some graffiti somewhere.
I saw that a Facebook post last night, and I'd have to go back to attribute it to anybody because I don't remember. Something on the Pathfinder near Madison. I don't remember the exact location.
Yeah, and I called Bob. He's on it.
Okay.
He was notified, as you discovered, on social media.
Yeah.
That's how we became aware of it, and Bobby's sending staff out there to take a look on it. It may be on some private property. We're not sure yet. But that will be addressed. We're not going to tolerate that. But, Tom, you are charged with enforcing the law.
Yes.
But citizens have certain rights.
That's right.
And we're here to protect those particular rights. Tom, I noticed the churches in the area did something Friday evening. Tell us a little bit about that.
They did. And I was actually, when your son, who's ordained, called me and said, "Are you going to be there?" And I said, "Caleb, I'm halfway to Branson to see my one-year-old granddaughter. I wanted to be there." But they gathered at the police department for a time of prayer, and they came together and they lifted us up. And
there were a number of denominations that were there, pastors.
Cross denominational lines. And what a welcome. And some of them were our chaplains, some of them were not.
I think your chaplain organized it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And they came together. And, you know, that's not the first time that's happened down there. Every year we have a regular group that comes down on a Saturday morning. Used to, they would stand outside on the sidewalk. Well, when I found out, I said, "No, come into the building. Let's go room to room and pray for these officers."
Yeah.
And that's what we do. Just an outpouring. This community is so supportive of law enforcement and of the Bartlesville Police Department. It really, I don't think there's a community in Oklahoma that can compare. I went to the Friday Forum at the bank. I didn't speak. I just went in there and just to reassure them that we're hurting, but we're on duty, and just this outpouring. This morning we had people bringing food. We had people, a lady went down with her little children and bought 36, I don't know what they call them anymore, freezes or slushes or whatever, and brought those down to the police department. It's just been that kind of outpouring. People love our community. They love our city employees, and they love the police and fire,
and
public
I can,
safety.
Yeah, and I can tell you that the city council, of course, I'm kind of the touchstone between the council and the employees, and yeah. I know that the city council stands with you. And they want that known. Tom, I talked to an officer's wife this weekend, and Friday night they stayed up till 1:30 in the morning, with him at times in tears. I'm not going to tell you the officer's name, but works in administration, is off the street, works more in admin, but now then detective type work, and he says, "You know, I haven't worn a vest for a while," but he says, "I may need to wear a vest." He talked about what to do. Morning, Kevin.
Morning,
about
Charlie.
His just said.
Yeah. Charlie's over there.
Yeah. What to do with his career? Sit down, Kevin. Please, please.
No, I gotta get going.
Well, I know you've always got to get going, but I find it interesting that they're discussing career choices. She's concerned because she says, "I want you to come." Almost emotional here. "I want you to come home at night."
Yeah, I know. I know who that is, actually, and she gets on me for not wearing my vest, and she's very concerned about her officers. And you know, my wife told me one time, "You know, I've done this 45 years," and she'd been so supportive, but she broke down. And she said, "Every morning when you leave, I don't know if you're coming home."
In fact, you were even shot once. People don't know.
Yeah,
that.
I was. I don't want to paint some picture
of
some great hero. It didn't penetrate my body cavity. It ruined a shirt. It went through my shirt and lodged on my breastbone. 44 Magnum, but it had ricocheted, so most of the energy went into a rock.
There's a Clint Eastwood line there someplace.
Yeah, but it hit me. It went through my shirt. And, you know, I dug it out, and there was a creek nearby, and I threw it. And as soon as I let it go, I said, "That would have made a great necklace. Why did I throw that away?" I didn't tell my wife, Charlie. But by Friday, I had a bruise as big as a hippopotamus. Yeah. And she said, "What happened to you?" I said, "Oh, I got shot." She went off on a tangent.
Well, that's what police officers, their families think about. And we, it's not just one person that goes to work for the police department, it's the whole family. And every day those officers get up, or at night when they go in to serve, that's certainly on the hearts and minds of the family, that they want to come home.
But you know, we are who we are because we have the support of the citizens. We have the support of you and the city council. They're just this outpouring of support. You have said many times to me, Mr. City Manager, I will not allow you to operate unsafely. We'll take whatever steps we need to take. And we know that, and we appreciate that. We don't want to operate unsafely, obviously. If we're unsafe, the citizens are unsafe.
Yeah. Real quick, you didn't bring them with you. I asked you to. You forgot. You're insubordinate in this.
Yes. That's covered.
We talked about being governed by laws. Talk about the general orders and what they're for. The GO, you call them affectionately the GOs.
The GOs, the general orders, they're a guideline for our conduct. How we try to address just about every situation that we could find ourselves in. And I mean, they cover how we deal with injured animals, to how we deal with use of force. What can we do to protect the citizens and to protect ourselves, up to and including the use of deadly force.
And in those incidents, there you have a review board that if when those policies go into effect and there's a question about their application, you have a review board that examines that officer or that incident.
We have review boards for so many things, including use of force, including pursuits. We had two pursuits this weekend, and those are under scrutiny. Did we violate the general orders? We have them for accidents. If our police cars are involved in an accident, and that happens every now and then.
It does. And if in the event that there seems to be a conflict of interest, we bring in an outside organization like the OS.
Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, Federal Bureau of Investigation.
To look at us.
We've asked the Sheriff's Department, would you come in and work this wreck because, or a trooper, because our unit is involved in it. We brought troopers in to reconstruct accident scenes, although we have reconstructionists on our staff. But it's all part of that law enforcement family. But
the general orders apply.
Absolutely. And let me tell you, if we're in a deadly force issue, that's looked at by so many people. First of all, I would bring in OSBI. But we may be looked at by FBI, we could be looked at by the U.S. attorney, the local district attorney. This is not something isolated, and we do it ourselves. We don't investigate ourselves.
Right.
That's the old adage. We do not investigate ourselves.
But there are 400 pages in the general orders.
Yes.
And some of it's very routine and mundane. Others are dealing with
critical day-to-day, what do I do next?
How we interface with the public.
Exactly.
What's expected of our officers. And those rules apply.
They apply.
And because we are not above the law.
No.
And Chief, we've got about a minute and a half left in the radio program. What would you like to say to the officers first of the Bartlesville Police Department?
You do a magnificent job. It's been a hard week and a half. We don't know what's laying out there. We hope this is not the new normal. I've heard that term batted around. But our call is very specific, and that is we will continue to protect and serve. We will be colorblind as to race. And just keep doing your jobs the way you're doing them. Back each other up and support one another. And
operationally, you do anything different than what we did last week?
Not really. I basically sent out a memo, internal memo to everybody, and said, keep doing what you're doing, because we were already there.
And what would you like to say to the citizens in 20 seconds?
Thank you for your support. There's always been an outpouring. There's an outpouring every year at Christmas. There's an outpouring when something like this happens, and we appreciate it.
Tom, to the officers, to the law enforcement of Northeast Oklahoma, Washington County, Sheriff's Department, Rick Silver and his group, thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
Charlie, to the citizens of the city, keep your eyes open, be safe, and thank you for your support, and God bless the city of Bartlesville.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.